But I don't get any
I didn't have many announcements. Anybody else have any? All right, well then, we will continue with the Chicago Folk Service. And please stand as you are able.
The Lord be with you.
Of God's family, branded in baptism and united in Christ. Let us come together honestly to tell God that we have not lived as we could and ask Him to forgive us. Our Father, we have not fulfilled the hope in which You created us. We repent and ask Your mercy that our sin may be forgiven, our guilt removed. Help us to learn from Scripture and from one another Your will for our lives, so that with Your help, we can claim the inheritance of unlimited freedom, which You have willed to us through Your Son. You came to our world in Jesus. Come now to us. God our Father does care about us. He sent His Son Jesus Christ to us, and for us Jesus gave His life. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creature. Old things have passed away. And all things are new, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and who has trusted to us the ministry of reconciliation. In Christ we are forgiven.
In Christ we are
God, you draw near to us in Christ, and you make yourself our guest. Amid the cares of our lives, make us attentive to your presence, that we may treasure your word above all else. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Give me Jesus. Hymn number 707.
above and for our resurrection, let us pray to the people of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy place, and for those who in faith, devotion, and fear of God, offer here their worship and praise,
Sunday from Pentecost is from the 18th chapter of Genesis. The Lord visits Abraham and Sarah to tell them that the long-awaited promise of the birth of a child will be fulfilled for them in their old age. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly the three measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant, who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where is your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There, in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." Genesis continues with these words, "And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him." Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord?" Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Please join me in reading Psalm 15 responsively. "Lord, who may dwell in your tabernacle, who may abide upon your holy hill?
Those who lead a blameless life and do what is right, who seek the truth from their heart.
They do not slander with the tongue, they do no evil to their friends. they do not cast discredit upon a neighbor.
In their sight, the wicked are rejected, but they honor those who fear the Lord. They have sworn upon their health and do not take back their word.
They do not give their money in hope of gain, nor do they take bribes against the innocent. Those who do these things shall never be overthrown. The second reading is from the first chapter of Colossians. Sometimes Paul preaches with great attention to theological concepts. Here, however, Paul offers a mystical teaching that the great mystery of God is Christ in you. Because Christ is present in the church, Christians share in his life, suffering, and glory. Christ Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things in heaven and on earth were created, things visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or rulers or powers, all things have been created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him God was pleased to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, by making peace through the blood of his cross. And you who were once estranged and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he is now reconciled in his fleshly body through death, so as to present you holy and blameless and irreproachable before him, provided that you continue securely established and steadfast in the faith, without shifting from the hope promised by the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed to every creature under heaven. I, Paul, became a servant of this gospel. I am rejoicing in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am completing what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body that is the church. I became its servant according to God's commission that was given to me for you to make the word of God fully known, the mystery that has been hidden throughout the ages and generations but has now been revealed to his saints. To them God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. It is he who we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone in all wisdom, so that we may present everyone mature in Christ. Word of God, word of life.
Thanks be to God.
Praise him.
Christ our heavenly King, give thanks for everything.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He came to show us how to live in the here and now.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia. Play music to praise his name. Alleluia, alleluia.
He suffered and died for us, and one day we shall return.
Sing praise to the Lord, all the earth. Alleluia, alleluia.
The Gospel according to St. Luke, the 10th chapter.
Glory
to you, O Lord. Now, as Jesus and his disciples went on their way, they came to a village where a woman by the name of Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at Jesus' feet and listened to him saying, and to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many duties. And she came to him and said, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left all of the work to me? Tell her to help me." Jesus said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and distracted by many things. Mary has chosen the better part, and it will not be taken from her." That's the good news, the gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, O Christ.
Now, I know you're all children of God, but we'll skip the children's sermon today. I can hear the oh. I was actually just going to do something on that psalm. The psalm is really a neat psalm. But we'll come back to that. Have you ever considered that God speaks to everyone? Now, there are probably some who say, "Well, duh, everybody knows that. God speaks to all people, right?" But there are others, most of us probably, saying, "Well, I don't know about that. He may speak to the prophets, he may speak to the patriarchs, and he may speak to preachers and teachers, but I've never heard him talk to me." Anybody in that boat? There was once an investment firm that advertised on TV, and they said, "Whenever people listen to us, I mean, whenever we speak, people listen to us." But what about God? Who listens to God? Is God speaking, or do we have our hearing aids turned off? Now, some of you have probably seen movies like Oh God or Holy Moses or some of those in which God is personified as a person who speaks to a person. And that's the only person who can hear him or see him. But imagine that God is speaking to everyone. And he even speaks to Abraham and Sarah. It was a hot, dusty, dirty day on the desert when, out of nowhere, three strangers come walking toward Abraham's camp. Abraham is what the Bible calls a wandering Aramean. He's a shepherd, going from camp to camp wherever he can find enough that the sheep have to feed on. These three, this trinity of travelers, comes to his tent. Now, hospitality in that part of the world is still a sacred duty. Doesn't matter who you are or where you come from, if you visit a Bedouin, for instance, in Israel today, they will take you in and you become a member of that family that day. And they will feed you and care for you no matter what background you come from. Well, Abraham has that within him. It's part of his DNA. And he tells Sarah to make up some cakes for them. And he goes out and he kills a calf so that he can feed them meat. And he brings them all of the things they need so that they can sit and relax and eat and drink in the shade. And then he asks a question. Then they ask the question, where is Sarah? And he says, well, she's in the tent. And he says, well, you know, a year from now, I'm going to come back and she's going to have a baby. Now think of this. That's quite amazing. Sarah is 90 years old. Moses is 100 years old. And so Sarah's response is to laugh. Abraham and Sarah loved each other so, but never had the child they always wanted. They were growing very old when God came to them and told them they would have a son, an important one. And Sarah laughed, she laughed, to think that she might be the mother of a child. The thought was simply wild and funny. So Sarah laughed, she laughed, though God was standing there. The thrill too much to hide, she couldn't hold it all inside. And so she laughed. Oh, lady, gonna have a baby. Though spring had long passed by. Oh, lady, gonna have a baby. Gonna finally sing her lullaby. How Sarah laughed, she laughed. Like any woman would, when hearing news of joy, gonna have a baby boy. It was too great. And I've got a feeling, yes I do, when Sarah laughed, she laughed, God was laughing too. Yeah, I imagine God laughing. And probably laughing not only with Sarah, but with us when we finally listen. Can you imagine that? Having a baby? Well, we don't have too many of the younger generation with us today, but imagine yourself. If God came and said, you're going to have a baby. At your age, most of us would say, come on. We would laugh. I remember. Yeah, there would be some who would cry. I agree. I had to preach. I used this lesson at a nursing home in Mapleton, Iowa. And one of our members, Maud, was 101. Now, Maud was an unusual woman in that she, at 101, if you walked down the hall with her, you had to move because she didn't use a walker, didn't use anything. She was on her own. She was a woman who read voraciously. She read the paper. She knew what was happening in the world at all times. She was a sports fan. And she had won the spelling bee 5 years in a row. Now, Maud is in the congregation as I'm preaching this sermon, and all at once I asked, Maud, what would you say if God said you're going to have a baby at 101. She got this little twinkle in her eye, and she said, oh my. Now, I got the impression that some of you would say more than that. But God points out to us in our lesson today that all things are possible with God. When God speaks, nothing is impossible. But we have to be able to listen to what God says. Paul tells us that God, Jesus, is the visible sign of the invisible God. That Jesus not only is God on high, but Jesus is God within us, living in us. I've often asked the question, how many people did Jesus choose to be disciples? Now, we know of 12 who said yes. But how many more said, oh, no, I'm too busy. No, that's not my thing. Or maybe later. Maybe when I get a little older. But this we know, that when Jesus spoke, amazing things happened. When Jesus spoke, the storms ceased and the seas became calm. When Jesus spoke, the deaf could hear, the blind could see, the lame could walk. When Jesus spoke, sins were forgiven. When Jesus spoke, the dead were raised to life. When Jesus spoke, all things were possible for those who listened. Part of the gospel today points to that. You notice how we are a lot like Martha in so many ways. We can get distracted and busy and worried about so many things around us that we can't be like Mary, just sitting and listening to God. I've said many times how important it is for us to take some time each day just to sit and meditate, to listen. Listen to what God has in mind for us. Now, we may have all kinds of excuses, but still, consider that God is calling each of us because he lives in each of us. And if he lives in each of us, is there anything that's impossible? Now, I'm not saying you're going to go home and have a baby. Thank the Lord. But I am saying that we don't even have a clue of what is possible for us as a church, for us as individuals, for us who follow Jesus and listen to him and do what he calls us to do. I don't know what he's calling you to do. Maybe he's calling you to be stronger than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, leap tall buildings with a single bound. I doubt it, but you see the point? Whatever God calls us to do, he will empower us to do. So God calls us to be his body in the world, and that's what we are to be. Now, you know, I've talked to some people, some of our members, who are helping out with the Longmire days. And they said, well, I can't be here this morning. Obviously, they're not. And I said, well, why don't you be Jesus to the people who come to you? Why don't you smile to people who need a smile? Why don't you live as Jesus would have you live, wherever you are, whenever you are? And that goes for all of us. So, when God gives you a job to do, Don't laugh at him. Laugh with him and enjoy the power that he's going to give you to fulfill all that he calls you to do. My friends, that's the good news. So may the peace of God, which passes understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen.
Let us offer our prayers for those in need. Are there people? concerns that you would like to include in the prayers today?
Kathy, my daughter-in-law.
Kathy?
Tom.
And Tom?
Tom. Ann Orwick. For Grace.
Grace.
For the church, steadfast and faithful in its mission to proclaim redemption through Christ Jesus, for all ministers of the gospel who proclaim that the word is near, let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For areas affected by drought or storms, for livestock and fields, for ranchers and farmers, and for all stewards of the earth, that as God's goodness is revealed in creation, we act with justice toward all creatures. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For those who feel ashamed, for those who find it difficult to trust, for the bereaved and sick, especially Pepper Neustall, the children in Belize, Susie Westby, Myrtle Trace, Ashanti O'Brien, Orlando Jackson, Stephanie Logan, for Kathy, Tom, Dan, and Grace, and those we name in our hearts, that God provide compassionate and loving caregivers to all who suffer. Let us pray.
Have mercy, O God.
For the members of the body of Christ in this place, for those who do good works in our midst, for those who are visiting and those who are absent, for Bev Kinnick as she takes children to camp, for Marissa at Outlaw Ranch and Kai at Camp Story, that they will have a Christ-filled week, and that the Holy Spirit guide all the journeys of all of our lives. Let us pray.
Lord, have mercy.
Merciful God, you hear the prayers of your people even before they are spoken. We commend these and all our prayers to you, trusting in your abundant mercy through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Amen.
The peace of Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Let us share that peace.
Thank you. All your actions show your mercy and love. You made us in your image and set us over your creation. Even when we had fallen under the spell of sin, you did not abandon us, but offered a covenant of blessing for all people. You rescued your chosen people Israel as a sign of the great deliverance to come. You sent prophets to prepare the way. And when the time had come, you sent your Son, born of Mary by the power of the Holy Spirit. In word and wonder, he proclaimed your kingdom and was obedient to your will, even to giving his life. For us, he was lifted up on the cross that we might know the power of his resurrection, and that we might no longer live to ourselves, but for him. He promised his Holy Spirit to those who believed and to comfort and guide us and to make us children of his Father. Father, through him and in his name we ask you, fill us with his Holy Spirit, so that until he comes again, we may remember him as he commanded us. At supper the night he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread in his hands and gave, and after giving thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." When the meal was ended, he took the cup of wine, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Take this, all of you, and drink from it. This is my blood of the new covenant, which was shed for you and for all people, for so that sin might be forgiven. Do this for the remembrance of me. For I will not drink of the fruit of the vine again until the day I drink the new wine in the kingdom of heaven."
On earth as it is in heaven.
body of our Lord Jesus Christ and his precious blood strengthen and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Lord, we have
serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.